Welcome to the University of North Carolina Eating Disorders Program podcast series. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bulick, Jordan Distinguished Professor of Eating Disorders, Professor of Nutrition, and Director of the UNC Eating Disorders Program. Today, we're joined by Dr. Millie Maxwell, who's a psychological counselor with the UNC Eating Disorders Program. She has extensive experience working with schools and colleges, and today she's going to give us some very practical advice about how to talk with a friend or loved one whom you suspect might be suffering from an eating disorder. Welcome, Millie.
You know, since we last talked, I've been thinking even more about how hard talking about eating problems can be. So today I think we're going to figure out a way to make it as easy as possible because it's so important.
Okay, Millie, cool. But before we go into a more detailed discussion about bringing up the topic with a friend or loved one, are there any just core or critical principles that you think people should remember before they even start?
Well, I don't know that it's a principle, but first and foremost, I just want people to know that my experience with people with eating disorders is that they are usually some of the most caring, sensitive individuals I've ever met. So those who are concerned need to realize it's not about vanity or being shallow, but usually about not feeling good enough in a number of ways. So go into this conversation assuming that your friend or loved one is ultra sensitive and muster up all the compassion and patience you can. And then proceed. Okay, so it might seem a little cheesy, but I suggest using an acronym that I find helpful, the word PROCEED. First, it embodies the whole point of talking with a friend. If you're concerned, you need to listen to your gut and proceed in taking initial steps to get your friend or loved one some help before a possible eating problem worsens. Think of a potential eating problem like cancer. The earlier the detection, the better.
Okay, Millie, so let's work our way through that acronym. Let's start with the P. What's the P stand for?
P stands for privacy. It's crucial that you set aside a private time and place to talk with your friend or loved one. And it's natural to want backup. Many times people think bringing along other friends or family members will help. But what ends up usually happening is your friend or loved one becomes overwhelmed and afraid, and she might actually feel attacked and abandoned. Basically, too much backup can backfire, unless you're on the show Intervention and you have a professional in the room. But seriously, privacy doesn't mean confidentiality. Far too many friends, because they care deeply about their friendship, will get sucked into promising not to tell a professional or parent. So don't make a pact about keeping quiet. Eating disorders are life-threatening illnesses. But do make a pact not to talk about your concerns to anyone who's not a professional or family member. Gossip never, ever, ever helps. And again, the fear of embarrassment may be very real for your friend or loved one.
Oh, good points, Millie. So we got the P for privacy. Now let's move on to the R. What does the R stand for?
Resources, resources, resources. By all means, get information for yourself about the dangers and seriousness of eating problems. The National Eating Disorders Association, the Academy for Eating Disorders, our UNC Eating Disorders Program website, and NIH all have trustworthy information on their websites. Most importantly, explore resources for your friend about different options for evaluation or treatment in your area. Because in addition to therapists, doctors, nutritionists, a lot of college and high school health centers have information and some even provide services. So give your friend or loved one some resources, or maybe even collaborate on finding some resources together. Also a great idea to get some help for yourself, especially if you live with someone who's struggling with eating. You'll be modeling good self-care, destigmatizing the process of getting some help, and emphasizing how serious you are about your concerns.
Oh, good point. Self-care is so important when you're trying to look after someone else with an eating disorder. Okay, so we've got P, we've got R. How about O? What's the O stand for?
Observations. Okay, this one is big. Just express what you have observed and resist the temptation to diagnose your friend. Don't diagnose. Leave this to the professionals. So instead of saying, I think you have bulimia, say something like, I'm worried because I heard you throwing up and I've noticed you haven't seemed as happy lately. Your friend or loved one needs you to provide support, but not therapy. Be sure to use I statements such as, I am worried versus you are too thin and worrying me, or I'm concerned for your health versus you are not healthy. Using these I statements will help reduce the chance of your friend or loved one feeling blamed.
Okay, so next comes the C. What's the C stand for?
Continue, which is what we'll do. Like we said a few minutes ago, we are often so scared of being wrong that when someone denies having a problem, we easily feel embarrassed. Sometimes we might even get ticked off that she seems ungrateful and doesn't want our help. Nevertheless, continue reiterating your concerns and your desire to see your loved one get some help. Stay focused in the conversation and don't give up. Even if your friend or loved one becomes angry, lashes out and blames you, or even changes the subject. Keep on keeping on. But at the same time, know your limitations. You cannot solve your friend or loved one's problems for her. You can only continually confirm that you care.
And Millie, I know you're saying her a lot, but the exact same acronym holds for guys as well. And moving on with that acronym, how about E? What's E stand for?
E is for empathy. And this one sounds easy, but is really hard. People have compassion, but empathy means really trying to understand the other person's perspective. And this can be amazingly difficult if a loved one is starving him or herself, purging, or eating large quantities of food. So try to understand what your friend or loved one is going through. If this is your daughter or son, you could start by saying how you remember how hard growing up was for you, and you imagine things are probably even more stressful now. Having empathy means seeing the problem as pretty complex, so don't simplify it by suggesting something like, if you just eat, things will be fine. What'll happen is your friend or loved one will likely feel misunderstood, more alienated, and maybe even like a failure for not being able to do something that everyone else sees as so simple.
Good point. Absolutely. So let's go through the words. So we've got P-R-O-C-E, and I think we've got another E.
We do have another E, and the next E is for encourage. Encourage your friend or loved one to get professional help and be encouraging about the process. Despite how he or she seems, your friend or loved one is likely going to be scared about getting help or about people knowing that he or she is struggling. So encouragement about the ability to seek some help, even if he or she doesn't want to or is scared, can really go a long way.
All right, let's have that final D.
Okay, this final letter D is a big D for don't. Or actually, it's kind of three big don'ts. Don't ABC. Don't argue, blame, or comment on appearance. First, don't argue or get into a battle of wills. You could literally spend hours fighting about whether or not your friend or loved one has a problem. And that's not going to do either of you any good. Second, don't blame her or try to lay blame on anything or anyone else. It's easy to want to find something to blame, but eating disorders are complex and have genetic and environmental causes. No one thing or person causes eating problems. And finally, third, don't comment on your friend or loved one's appearances, no matter how hard he or she seeks your opinion. If you say she looks great, you're reinforcing the idea that appearance is important, and she'll likely think that you're just being nice anyway. So say something like, I think it's important that we not talk about weight or appearance. Or, I'm going to try really hard not to talk about weight or appearance because I don't think it's healthy for either of us.
Okay, Millie, so we made our way through the acronym. And in the beginning, we talked about the fact that sometimes your friend or loved one might get really angry with you. So what do you do if you go through this whole proceed sequence and then your friend just becomes so angry that she or he just completely stops talking to you?
Ugh, it's so tough. First and foremost, validate your friend's feelings and let her know you understand why he or she is angry. Explain that you're sorry she's hurting, but don't apologize for caring enough to intervene. Reiterate that you hope she'll eventually understand that you love her, that she won't scare away that easily, and you're not going to stop caring about her no matter how angry she gets. Sometimes it also helps to come up with a plan. You might want to tell your friend, hey, I respect you're wanting some space from me right now, so I'm not going to beg and plead with you to talk with me every day, but I will check in with you once a week in the hopes that you'll want to talk with me again. I value our friendship and really think it's strong enough to get through even tough situations like this one. But sometimes that doesn't work, and when all else fails, you just have to channel your inner parent voice that says, life's not fair. It stinks when you do the right thing and still have some negative outcomes, but pat yourself on the back. Being willing to risk your relationship for the well-being of your friend or loved one is really the most selfless and caring act of love.
Millie, I completely agree with that last point. Now, let me just turn it around a little bit. Let's say that you do all of this perfectly well, and you follow your acronym, and then it turns out your friend actually doesn't have a problem at all. So it's sort of like a false alarm. Should you be embarrassed about having brought this whole topic up?
No way. That's a great thing. It's what I call a Hannah Montana moment. It's the best of both worlds. Your friend or loved one doesn't have an eating problem, yippee, but now knows that you care about her. So if she runs into eating or really any problems in the future, she knows that she can rely on you. Hooray!
I guess that's really the sort of silver lining in having done this in the first place. I really can't thank you enough for helping us through this really, really difficult topic. I think we're going to help a lot of people today who are in a position to help someone else get the type of help that they need in order to get treatment for their eating disorder.
Thank you, Cindy, and really thanks in advance to people out there who are taking the time to learn about eating disorders and are brave enough to educate others and show their concern. Kudos all around.
Thank you for joining us today at the UNC Eating Disorders podcast series. Our guest today was Dr. Millie Maxwell from the UNC Eating Disorders Program. And this is Dr. Cynthia Bulick wishing you the best of health.